Really appreciate that, Miss Dorothy, and Brother Donnie, and Miss Janie, Adam. Thank y'all very much. Both of those songs helped me this morning. Thank you. I tell you, this week leading up to today has been kind of interesting for me. You know, my flesh gets the best of me sometimes. That ever happened to y'all? You know, sometimes you, no matter how hard you try, you know, you get to thinking about little old me standing up here going to preach on a Sunday morning to a wonderful church like Bethel. Me and Brother Dennis is talking about it. Not only that, but, you know, it's a Sunday morning after revival. You know, that carries a certain amount of weight sometimes. And then it's a Sunday morning before my ordination. And that, boy, that worked on me pretty hard there for a while. You know, Brother Bing, I'm thankful we don't have a glass pulpit this morning, because you should see my knees knocking together up here. But no, I remembered, he brought it to mind, that it makes no difference about that stuff. He's still the same Lord. It's still the same book. And I'm still preaching the same message, whether it was here or anywhere else on any other day. But I do desire your prayers this morning. If you will, turn with me to John chapter 14. As you find your place, please stand. We'll read God's holy word. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 7. It says, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you please this morning for help. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm just a sinner saved by grace that you've called to preach. And Lord, I pray that this morning you would stand with me. Lord, that you would make this message clear. Lord, that it would help your people. You know exactly what their need is. And God, I pray that you would minister to that this morning. Lord, I just want to be a willing vessel that you fill up and pour out. Lord, to you be all the honor and all the glory. In Christ's precious name, amen. You may be seated. The Lord's had this scripture on my heart for a little while now. You know, I'm allowed, I'm blessed in the way of preaching that I get to travel to different churches, not covering a great area, but in our community. And it seems like church after church that I go to, more often than not, I see that something's missing from our churches. And not only that, I see that something's missing from the lives of the Christians that I encounter along the way. The Lord has burdened me about that, about what it was that was missing in our lives. I believe that what's missing is the cause why prayer was taken out of school. It's the cause why they removed the Ten Commandments down in, I believe it was Alabama, from the courthouse there. It's the reasons why so many Christians face defeat. It's why we go through life with our head hung down when we should be looking up. What's missing in our lives and our churches is power. We need that power. We need to do what it takes to claim that power. With the Lord's help, just for a few minutes, I'd like to preach on that. You know, church, our church, is a blessing here at Bethel and many other churches. But so many churches have been diluted. They've been watered down. They've been compromised by men pleasers. So many places we see that the word is not preached the way it should be because they're afraid of offending somebody. Do you realize that right now in today's society, the Christian church in a lot of places is a doormat for politicians, for liberalists, for pagans. Just a place to go and beat up on somebody. You know, you can get respect in our world in many different ways unless you say, I'm a Christian and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to get public respect for that. Why is that? It's because we're missing the power of God in our lives. You realize that there was a time, there have been times, where people feared God. Where not only that, but people feared those who followed God. Those who stood up and made a stand for Him. There was a respect and a fear there. Those people were concerned about what would take place if they disrespected God, His house, or His people. You know, it seems like even the people that follow the Lord now don't have a healthy respect and a healthy fear of Him. It's no wonder there's no realization of His power in our churches and our lives. When so many of us that sit on church pews so often only care about our purpose and what He can do for us. Thinking on this power, let's first look at the neglect of it. Back there in verse 9 in chapter 14 of John, it says, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? I wonder this morning if I were to ask you, congregation, if I were to ask you, how long have you been saved? We'd get many different answers. You know, 5 years, 1 year, 10 years, 20, 30, 50 years. How long have you been saved? And yet, so many of us still don't know it. So many of us still don't realize what it is that we should be doing in our lives. And don't take offense. You may say, well, yeah, preacher, I know Him. I got saved. I know Him. But what you've done, you heard the gospel. You believed unto salvation. Yes, you know Him in that way. And you rejoice in it, and that's great. Praise the Lord that we can rejoice in being saved. But that was the birth. How long ago was you born again? And how much growth have you had since then? What have you done with what He's done for you? I wonder this morning, did you stop there at getting saved, however long ago it was, and you haven't gone on to claim the power that He has given you? Let me try to illustrate it just a little bit. Illustrations help me a lot. As sad as it is, it's a lot easier for me to figure things out when I've got a picture to look at. So maybe this will help you. If you imagine someone taking you into a control room at, let's say, a nuclear power plant, and the room is dark, and when you enter that room, then you reach over on the wall and you find the light switch and you turn that light on. Then there's light in that room, and you rejoice in that because you can see. It's no longer dark in your world. You've turned that light on. And you get so excited about having that light turned on in that room that you're just overwhelmed by it. When what you don't realize is that all around you are switches, control panels, with megatons of power behind them. And it's at your disposal. Let's say the owner or the boss of this power plant, if you will, has brought you here and told you you can do what you will with all the power that's contained there under his supervision. But yet you are so caught up with turning the light on in that room, you don't do anything with those switches. That's kind of the way it is with us so many times. He has saved us. He has turned that light on in our life. We see that. But we miss the fact that we don't have to be afraid of anything. That we don't have to worry and be anxious about so many things. That He, under His supervision, has given us the right to that power. That we can use it with His guidance. You know, maybe another illustration. It doesn't seem like that one stuck real well. Let's try this. Let's say that someone built the fastest car in the entire world, fastest car that's ever been, and they bring it to your house and they park it there and they say, it's yours. Drive it. Enjoy it. And all you ever do is sit in a driveway and wave at people. and just rev up the engine, but you don't ever put it in gear and drive. That's what Christians do nowadays. They come in church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, if they come that often, and they sit there and they rev it up and they shout and they praise the Lord, which is great. But then when they leave here, they get in a different vehicle and they go into the world and they keep their mouth closed. They don't witness. They don't proclaim the gospel to anyone. Why is that? Why do we do that? There's three reasons, I believe, within this neglect of power, if you will, real quickly. First of all, I believe that some don't realize that they have that power. I believe that it hasn't dawned on them what a great liberty the Lord has given them. The greatest liberty of all is the forgiveness of our sins. That we don't have to, upon salvation, we no longer have to fear death. We no longer have to be concerned about those things. But I believe it's safe to say that possibly the second greatest liberty that we have is that God's power is in us, and He wants to use it through us, but yet we deny it. You know, people don't realize they have it. Think about this. When you're lost, you have power over nothing. You're ruled by the flesh. You're ruled by sin, by death. You're controlled by those things. You don't have the power to do anything. You might think you do, but if you're sitting here this morning and you've never called on Christ, ask Him to forgive your sins and put your faith in Him, then you have nothing. You're just a being. You're just there by His good graces. But upon salvation, then we are empowered. You see, when we're saved, then we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is not just something. That is part of the Trinity. Do you realize that this morning? That Holy Spirit that indwells us is Christ, and it is God the Father, and it is inside of you. Have you been saved? What are you doing with it? You realize your name has been written down. You've been set apart. You've been chosen. You have been selected, separated out in order to do good works unto Him, but you're not doing it. Why? Why is that? You now have, since you've been saved, the power of an almighty God. All you have to do is call on Him and line up with a few other things that we'll look at in a little while. You know, so many of us use the verse Philippians 4:13 as almost a tagline or something. We use it, but yet we don't understand it. You know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We say that, but did you miss the meaning of all things? Have you as a Christian not realized that when you say I can do all things, that doesn't mean, well, I can do all the things inside the church. That means you can do all things. Anything that He desires you to do, you can do it if you'll just trust in Him. Just put your faith in it. Secondly, I believe that we neglect this power because some of us are afraid of it. Some of us say, well, what if I mess up? Well, what if I do something wrong? What if I have thought that this is the way it is, but it's not? Do you realize this morning you will not find what if in the Scripture? God doesn't say what if. Why do you say what if? If you believe that you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then why are you saying, well, what if I'm wrong, or what if they laugh at me, or what if this, or what if that? What if I lose my job? Why does it concern us so much? We need to get a hold as Christians of the fact that we don't have anything to be afraid of. If God's for us, who can be against us? How about 2 Timothy 1:7? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. You see, He has given us the spirit of power. We need to use it. Churches in today's time, Christians right now, we need to stand on our feet. When we leave these four walls, when we go outside of this door, we need to plant our feet firmly on the promises that He has given us, our faith in Him and our salvation. And we need to do some work. We need to get busy about the Father's business. Do you think this morning, if you're afraid of using that power, you think He's going to let you wreck the universe? You know, he hasn't just turned you loose with it. He's still in control. He's still God. He is on the throne. He's not going to let you do something that's going to make a huge mess and ruin everybody's life. He's not going to let you throw the earth off its axis. He's God. He is provident. He's sovereign. If you try to access that power in the wrong way, he's not going to grant it. And that brings us to the third aspect of neglecting this power, and I believe that this one is most common. And this is really where we all need to focus. Some don't have this power or don't use this power because they're not ready to. Some of us are still battling with things that keep us from using this power. Things like keeping his commandments. These are requirements that have to be met in order for him to work this power through us. We have to keep his commandments. Abide in him. That word abide in the scripture, it means to remain in him. That doesn't mean, I love him and when I'm at church I think about him and then when I leave I'm thinking about something else. That means when you abide in Christ and he abides in you, that there is nothing in your life that he is not completely involved in. He has absolute and intimate control and relationship with you. There is no unconfessed sin. That's what it means to abide in him. It means to live wholly in Christ Jesus. How about asking in faith? If we want this power to be worked through us, if we want to see him use his power in our lives, then we have to ask for it in faith, nothing wavering. Boy, that's tough. That's real tough. But here's the one that really gets us all, I believe, more often than not. We have to ask for his glory, not to consume it of our own lusts. Do you realize when I speak of this power, it's easy to get excited and think about all of the possibilities that we can't fathom that could be done by an almighty God. But then we almost immediately begin to think about what it is we want to do with it. Well, if I could just see this happen, instead of saying, Lord, I desire your power in my life. What do you want to do with me? And then to further that up with, whatever it is, Lord, I'm okay with it. But yet, we desire things of ourselves. So many times we want this power and we want to see these great things done, and it's because we want to be lifted up or we want somebody to pat us on the back. You know, it's real easy for me to pray, Lord, I want to be the greatest preacher. Lord, I want to preach like no one ever has, aside from you. Why would I ask that? Is it so that I can have nice suits and a television show and a big congregation? Or is it so that I can see souls saved? You know, what I should pray is, Lord, just use me. I don't care if I don't have any clothes. I don't care if I don't have anything. I don't care if they stone me and beat me. Lord, I just want to see your power at work. That can be applied to your life. You may not be a preacher. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be just someone that works a job that encounters other people. At any aspect, you could say the same thing. Lord, I don't care whether anybody even remembers my name. I just want to see you make a difference in somebody's life. You know, if we really think about it, all of those requirements can be summed up in one thing. And that's if we truly love him with all of our heart. Then keeping his commandments, abiding in him, asking in faith, those things will come easily if we truly love him with all our heart. Not only that, but if we desire to see his will done, not ours, but we desire it with enthusiasm. Not just kind of sitting back and saying, well, yeah, man, that'd be great. Amen, preacher. You know, that'd be wonderful, and I'm not going to think about it anymore. I'm not going to pray for it anymore. When I leave church this morning, that was a great message, or that was a horrible message, whatever it may be, and that's the last time you think about it. But that you're excited about seeing God's work done, not only in your life, but in somebody else's life. Think about the Apostle Paul.
What a great encouragement he is. When he was there at Lystra, and they stoned him and drug him out of town, left him for dead, what did he do? He got up, dusted himself off, and went on preaching. Because he was excited. Because he had an enthusiasm. Because he realized that there was power in what God was doing. And not only did he keep preaching, but it wasn't long before he went into that same town where they stoned him. How many of you would do that this morning? How many of you desire the touch of God in your life? How many of you desire God's power in your life enough that you would go right back and face those who persecuted you, even physically persecuted you? Think about it this morning. Secondly, let's look at the nature of this power just for a second. There in verse 12, and this is really the verse that the Lord dealt with me the most about, and I'm still not sure that I fully comprehend it. I don't know if I can. Verse 12 there in chapter 14, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Did that register with anybody? Let's read it again. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Do you realize what Jesus just said? Think about it. Now, I may be getting ready to throw my ordination out the window here, and if so, so be it. But this is what God told me to tell you. This is the power that he had, the things that he had done at that time. If you just go back through just the book of John, quickly you can see that he's turned water into wine. He's healed sicknesses, caused the lame to walk, the blind to see. He's fed 5,000 with very meager supply. He's even raised the dead at this point. And those are the works which he said that we would do. Is that the way I read that? Was that just me? Or is that what it says? And then he says, greater than these shall he do. Wow. It still doesn't seem like that has sunk in with you. Now I understand, because it took a few days for it to sink in with me. You know, I had to pray a lot about that verse. It's unimaginable to me that would actually be what he's saying. But then, as I did pray, and I went on to read, and I realized that in God's Word, that promise was fulfilled. We've already seen it. We could study it out. Over there in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are there at the gate called Beautiful. You're familiar with that story probably. There's a man that's laying there. He's asking for alms, and he calls on Peter and John. There in verse 6 it says, "Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." You see that? Did you hear that? Peter, a man like you and I, flesh and blood, because of faith in the name of Jesus Christ, and because he did not waver, because he abode in the Lord. What a great miracle was wrought through him for that man. You could go on to read through that story. I love that story about how they looked on Peter and John in amazement. And Peter said, "Why are you looking and marveling at me? It's not me, it's through Christ Jesus, through faith in his name that this is done." You see, it's not because Peter was an apostle. It's not because anything was special about him. It was because of Jesus Christ that was done. That's the same Jesus Christ that saved me. The same one that has or will and can save you. Through faith in his name, those very same things can be done. And if you're sitting out there this morning saying, "No, preacher, you're way off. That's not right. That's not possible." That's what's holding you back. That's what's keeping you from realizing the power of God in your life, is because you doubt, because you're afraid, or because you don't even realize it. How about Paul? Acts chapter 19, verse 11. It says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul." You go on to read the next verse, how there was handkerchiefs taken from him, and the sick were healed. You go on to read through Paul's stories about so many things that God did through him. Paul was the same as you and I, a sinner saved by grace. Yes, he was an apostle. Yes, he saw the resurrected Christ. Is that why this happened? Is that why those things were wrought through him? No. It's because Paul had unwavering faith in Jesus Christ. It's because Paul knew and believed that those people needed help and they could receive it by Jesus Christ. Do we do that? Have we even come close to that? No, we haven't. You know, these are the same works that he did while he was here. What about greater? Those things seem unbelievable. What would be greater than those? You know, I had to think on that a while, and then the Lord told me. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. It says there, in the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. How about over in chapter 4 of Acts, where Peter preached again? It says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Those are souls that were saved, 3,000 and 5,000. You tell me this morning, church, what is greater? To see someone's sickness healed, which you have seen here in this church, you see before you right now, for someone's sickness to be healed, or to see a soul saved from hell? Which is greater? Did Christ not tell them plainly that for him to heal somebody, to cause the lame to walk or the blind to see, that's not that much, but to forgive sins, for him to save someone's soul from eternal damnation, that is a greater work. If you study Christ's life, you see many wonderful things. You will see how he did all of those works. But did you ever see 3,000 or 5,000 saved while Christ was there preaching? It was after he left and the Holy Ghost was sent. And he said, greater works than these shall you do. That is greater works. So how does that relate to us? How is it that we can realize greater works than those things? First of all, we got to get over the fact that it is a greater work for somebody to be saved. Because our flesh and our physical bodies and our minds get so hung up on the miraculous, on these great signs. You know, we imagine these great works, the mighty power of God, being these wonderful things, mountains moved right before our very eyes. But how many times has someone come to this altar and called on the name of the Lord, had their sins forgiven and their souls saved? Do you understand this morning? I know I'm repeating myself, but I just want you to understand that for a soul to be saved is a greater work than anything in our physical bodies. That's much greater. That is how he wants to manifest his power through us, is for us to go forth, share the gospel, and see people saved. That's what he wants. Why does he want that? Because there is no greater glory for the Father through his Son than to have that happen, than to have a soul saved. Now that's the nature of the power. Now, I'm sorry if you're disappointed that I didn't tell you that God's going to help you jump over a building in a single bound, but that's not what it's about. It's about the humble, the meek. It's about bringing yourself far below everyone else. That's how you'll see the power of God in your life. Thirdly and lastly, the necessity of this power. Look with me in chapter 15 of the book of John. I just want to read a few verses there to try to drive this home a little bit. Chapter 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Do you realize if you teach Sunday school, if you sing in the choir, if you witness to people on the street or at work, whatever you do, without him, it amounts to nothing. Do you realize without the power of God in your life, all the work that you do, I can stand here and preach till I'm blue in the face, but if I'm doing it of myself, it's not going to help anybody. It's going to hinder you. You could teach Sunday school as hard as you can with all your power, and if you're not doing it in His name and through His power, it's not going to get anywhere. The results will be naught to minimal at best. But if we are willing to abide in Him, if we're willing to meet those requirements, if we're willing to just say, Lord, I desire Your power for Your glory, no matter what, then we'll start to see things changed. Then we'll see souls saved. We'll see people's problems solved. What greater joy is there for one of us than to be the one who tells somebody about Jesus? To see someone whose life is in shambles, to see their world falling apart, for us to go to them and say, I know someone that can help you. To tell them that the love that He has will overcome all those things. If we would just do that and stop worrying about accolades, certificates, and pats on the back, popularity, if we would just be willing to say, I just want to tell you about His power to save, then we would see something. We'd see something greater than we've ever seen before. Because it's through Jesus that all things are possible. Now, in closing, let me ask you this. Do you desire a stronger prayer life? Do you desire to have more power when you pray? Do you want more courage, more boldness, more power to go out and share the gospel? Maybe there's just that little hump, some reason why you haven't been witnessing to somebody, and you just can't quite get over that fear. Do you desire to overcome that? How about this? What do you want for your church? Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, or whoever you are, wherever your membership is, what do you desire for your church? Do you desire power in your church? Now, I'm not talking about power to fill up a bank account, power to pay off a bill. I'm talking about power to see souls saved, power to see the pews full, standing room only, that kind of power. Do you desire it? Because if you don't, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry for you if you don't desire that power in your prayer life or in your church or in your witnessing. If you sat here this morning and heard this feeble preaching at best, and you still don't care about seeing God work, then you have bigger problems than not having power. I would urge you to try to determine whether or not you really are saved. Because I don't understand within myself how someone that is indwelt by the Holy Spirit could stand to grieve Him, could stand to not desire growth and power. How could you not want to see these young people saved? Stand to your feet. As you close your eyes and bow your head this morning, I ask you again, what do you desire? Do you want to see God work in your life? Do you want to see Him manifest that power through you? Or do you just not care this morning? Do you feel like you've got enough and that's where you're going to stay? How about for your church? What do you want to see happen at Bethel Missionary Baptist Church? I don't know about you, but I don't care about this building. I don't care if they bust the windows out. Really, when it comes down to it, what I care about is seeing people call on the name of Jesus and their souls get saved. I want to see my children saved when the time's right. All else can fade away, but to see a soul saved, what greater is there? I desire that power. I want to be able to tell them without a doubt about Jesus. Do you this morning? Maybe you teach or something. I wonder in your teaching, Does it have power? Or do you just feel like something's missing? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for allowing me to stand and preach. Lord God, I pray that it was pleasing to you, whether anyone else liked it or not. God, I ask you, please help your people. Lord, that they could just get a hold of it. Lord, that they could get over themselves. Lord, you've already dealt with me about this. You know the prayers I've offered up to you. Lord, I pray for the others that they'll realize what a great need there is for this power. Oh, Lord, that we could just somehow get a hunger, a fire inside of us. Lord, that we would come before the throne with boldness and just say, Lord, I want to see your power at work in my life. Oh, how our lives could change, how our church could change, how our community could change, how our nation could change, Lord, if we would just line up with your word and seek that power in our lives. Lord God, it's not about ourselves. It's not about being lifted up. It's about you, Lord. It's about your glory. It's about the increase of souls being saved. Oh, Lord, how I desire to see that. Lord God, I beg you to send Holy Ghost conviction on somebody's life, on many people's life. Lord God, have mercy on them. Show them that they're lost. Lord, please save somebody, I pray. I know it's their choice, Lord. You're not going to force them. But God, I pray that you would have mercy on them. Lord God, I pray that our church would get burdened. Lord, that we would just somehow realize that without your power, we can't do anything. Lord, I ask you to send that. God, I pray for your mercies. Lord, I thank you above all. I thank you that you saved my soul. Lord, that you even made it possible for me to preach about this power, to understand even just a little bit about it. God, I pray that I would never forget how much you've done for me. And I pray all these things in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen and amen.